Yeah, Luke 2, and it came to pass. Or what you normally say, pin a 20 to your chest and we'll see if you pass, right? Okay. Now, Luke 2, let's look at 1 to 14. It goes all the way, what's that? We'll concentrate on 1 to 14 today, the basic part of the Christmas story. Egeneta de, good Septuagint kind of feel to that. And it came to pass in those days. Anybody who reads the Old Testament should immediately at that point be warned that this is going to be fulfillment talk of the ancient prophetic hope. In those days, says the Lord, I will do such and such. So that should perk the ears right away. Ekinais being those. Ex elthen dogma, a decree, an opinion, which then becomes a dogma if it's a king, went out from, now you notice paras used, not a pa, because you use para with a person. If you said that the horse ran from the barn, you could use ek or a pa, but when you get something from a person, it's para. Caesar Augustus. Now this next is interesting. Apa graphesthai pasan tain oikumenein. Now, apa graphesthai could be passive, that all the inhabited world be enrolled. It could be. But it could also be a middle, that the dogma went out, the decree went out, to get enrolled all the inhabited world. It could be that. Now, the oikumene is the inhabited world. Now, that doesn't mean the whole world like the people in South America or something, but it is the people within the reaches of the Roman Empire. We're going to come to this apographisthai in the next couple of verses, so we'll keep that in mind. Now, verse 2 is worth a little bit of a note. Haute apographe prote egeneta hegemonoiantes tes Syrias cure niu, Cyrenius or Quirinius. Now that last part, the last four words, looks like a GA, while Quirinius was governing Syria, hegemonio being a verb that takes the genitive, to rule over. Now, you know this translation from the Christmas story and the King James. This enrollment taxing was first made when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Now, that particular translation depends upon the variant reading in 2. Now, I want you to take a look at that. This is where the variants are important. In verse 2, the first variant, it's the second line of the apparatus in the proper text, has a hey there. That should go between haute and apographe. Why? Because whenever you have a demonstrative pronoun, you must have the article with the noun to put it in predicate position. Notice in verse 1, entis, hemerais, ekinais. See, ekinais is the demonstrative, and it's outside. It's not in attributive position. It's in predicate position to the arthrus, with the article, the arthrus word of the same gender, number, and case. So, in order to read this enrollment, you need that article in there. In fact, the best manuscripts don't have it in which case, you're going to want to read a couple of other possibilities. One would be you take this separate, and then you'd say, this was the first enrollment, something like that. Or you'll notice that if you're reading the Nestle-Aland text, that you have those little S and reverse S squiggles around prote and egeneta. That means that in some manuscripts, those words are reversed in their word order. Now, if that's the case, then prote would be next to hegemonoiantes, and egeneta would be in front of it. And in that case, you could read something like, you could say this enrollment was first, or something like that. And indeed, there is evidence that protus could function as an adverb. Let me repeat that. That protus could function adverbially, meaning before. In which case it would be, this was the apographe before Quirinius was governor of Syria. Now, why is there all of this? Because the problem is that Quirinius was governor of Syria later. It is after the birth of Christ by quite a long time. Now, some church fathers hypothesize that it should be a different person, Seleucus, and so on and so forth. Another issue for this is whether or not this apographe with Quirinius being governor of Syria might not have started earlier. Now, there's a whole thing that you can study on this, and it's worthwhile taking a look at this for your Bible classes. The enrollments were generally done at 14-year intervals. Augustus started this when he was the prefect in Egypt. And if you take the times back, there is one right at about, if you kind of do it in 14-year intervals, right at about 6 BC. But it's not when this guy is the governor of Syria, see? So that's part of your problem. Now, there are a number of different ways that people can go with this. It could be that this was kind of the beginning, or it was somewhat informal. I leave you to look in some commentaries about that. There's this protase solution. One other possibility that I do want to mention to you, though, is this. It does appear that Quirinius had two different functions in governing Syria. At one time, he was the governor over it, kind of like Pontius Pilate ruled over Judea. And then, at another time, he was, and this was earlier, he was sort of a general, guy in charge of a whole area, not just the Syrian area, under which Syria was included. So it could have been that he had a different position, and this is being referred to here. This is an interesting problem, because with the data we have now, there is no easy answer, but I will tell you this. Every time there has been a difficulty with St. Luke and chronology, he's always been proved right. And the chief case is in Acts 18:12 or something like that, where it talks about the governor in Corinth. And this, there was no evidence of this for centuries. And finally, an inscription showed up in Delphi in Greece to show that he actually was the governor in Corinth at that time for 2 years, right at the time that Paul was there. So there's got to be some sort of explanation to this that we don't know. I'm not particularly attracted to the prote meaning before he was governor of Syria. It looks a little too much like an expedient. But there is some evidence for this. For example, in the Gospel of John, says that the one who is coming after me was protus mu, not first of me, but before me. See, and it's that kind of a meaning. I think it's in 1:15. No, it's a little further out in John 1. But it's that kind of a meaning that some people gravitate to. I have a feeling that there's probably some kind of explanation like this. This proved to be a prote apographe, kind of like a real big time one when Quirinius was governor of Syria, kind of talking about at this time it was a small one, but then it was a big one, or something like that. Just be aware that there is a difficulty, and people at this time of year who are non-believers love to tweak your brain about this, but there are certain ways to go on it to help yourself out. Okay, 3. Kai eporoianta pontes apographistai. Now, I want you to notice that. And all went Now, do you want to say to be enrolled? Well, I don't think so. I think this is a middle to get themselves enrolled. To get themselves enrolled. You can use the middle that way. To get themselves enrolled. Not to enroll themselves. They're not doing it themselves, but they're getting it done for their own benefit. So they go up there and have somebody else put them in the book. So all went to get themselves enrolled, to engage in this activity. Notice the present infinitive there. They went, so all went to kind of do this stuff. Each unto his own city, to being one's own. An ebe, third singular, aorist indicative active of ana bino. And Joseph, also Joseph, went up from Galilee. Now, why ana bino? Well, Jerusalem's high. You gotta go up. It's bino, so they walked probably. See, remember, erchemai is the big word for just going. Peroiamai, most people are using a conveyance of some sort. And then bino is walking along. So Joseph went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto Polin Dawid, city of David, which, non-restrictive clause, Kalaitai is called Bethlehem. Why did he do this? Diata einai autan. Diata plus the infinitive einai, autan being the subject, on account of the fact that he was ex oiku from the house and patrias, the line, the lineage of David. Now, look at the next infinitive. Apagrapsastai. Now, that's clearly an aorist middle infinitive, right? That's not a passive. To get himself enrolled. See, I think those other ones up there are all middles, actually. To get himself enrolled with Mary. Now, let's have a further description of Mary. Te mnestoi mene auto. That's from mnestoio, to promise. This is a perfect passive participle, feminine singular dative of mnestoio. Mary, the one in a promised condition to him, betrothed to him, and now comes a predicate position participle, which should not be translated the way the King James did, who was great with child, but I think it's actually much more poignant if you do it the right way, while she was pregnant. See, that's in predicate position there, while she was pregnant. Six. Agenitade, and it came to pass, ento plus the infinitive. Now, there's one of those articular infinitive constructions again. It came to pass while they, einai, were there, that, you got to say, good Hebraistic thing where you don't have that in there, that the days eplaisthason, that's from pimplemi, to fill up. So the days were accomplished, filled, with what respect? Days for her to bear a child. Two is with tekain. Tekain is the aorist active infinitive. The two goes with that. And in Hellenistic Greek, starting about the 3rd or 2nd century BC, they started using two plus the infinitive as an alternative for the simple infinitive. So if you want to just see what that's like, you just take your finger and cover up the two. The days that she bare a child were fulfilled. And eteken. And she bore the son, her son, which son? The prototokon son, the firstborn son of hers, and she sparganao'd him. Sparganao is to swaddle, put in swaddling clothes, take the big cloths and put them around the loins of the kid, between his legs. And she swaddled him and reclined him on eklinen, reclined him in a fatne, which is a manger, and a manger is this thing with straw in it that animals eat out of. In a manger, di'oti, wherefore, because, in this case, because. Now, this is important, this next part. Uk ein autois topos ento kata lumati. because there was not place for them in the Howard Johnsons. No. A katalima is not a hotel, despite the children's programs. That is a pandochema. A katalima is a guest room. A guest room. Every house of a Palestinian peasant had a guest room. And most of these houses, because they had animals, also had, in Bavarian style, I think you're all kind of familiar with that, where you have the barn and the animals kind of maybe down on a lower level, and you have the house kind of built above it and out from it. Okay? In all probability, this has nothing to do with hotels, motels, or the shed behind the back. This has to do with Mary and Joseph, being of the house and lineage of David, going to a relative in Bethlehem. And in that relative's house would have been other relatives who were coming to be enrolled. Now you've got people chock-a-block all over the place. And what are you going to do with the baby? You're going to put the baby in the only place that's safe, that it's not going to get trampled on, the manger of the animals, which are in the house. And they probably didn't have the guest room, because there would probably have been more important guests in the house and lineage of David who would have been with whatever relative they were staying at than Mary and Joseph, and they would have had the guest room, or it would have been filled already. Now, the fact of the matter is, no Middle Eastern family would have allowed you to go to a hotel. It would have been an insult to do so. So the notion that this is actually in a Palestinian peasant's house, the manger is in the house, the katalima is in the house, is, I think, almost a sure thing. So the trouble is, of course, you can't have your Christmas pageant to it because everybody gets mad. Because you got to have some guy knocking on a door, and a guy goes, no, we don't have any rooms, and then, you know, out in the back. But no, this is actually Jesus in the lowly surroundings of the house and lineage of David. Okay, 8. Kai poimenes eithon, and shepherds were in the area, te aute, in the area itself, which is in the same area, it's an attributive position, agrauluntus. Agrauleo means to live rough, what the English call it. Live out in the field. Kind of like a bag lady sort of thing. Well, the shepherds were as bad a people and as unsavory a people as possible in the Middle East. Generally thought of as being dishonest. Shepherds were living around outside in the same area, and philosantus philakas, and guarding a watch during the night over their poimnein, over their flock. Well, do we have a piling up of images here, Andy, about the house and lineage of David and the flock, you know? This is great. Here you have David. David was out with the sheep and so on. You've got that whole shepherd theme coming through. And angelus curiae, note it's an arthrus, the angel of the Lord, not an angel of a Lord, but that anarthrous use, it's like a Brooklyn hit in bowling, you know, that you either get a strike on the right side, if you hit the head pin, you're going to get a split, but if you're really wrong, you can actually get a strike. So this is the same thing with Greek and the article. You use the articles to make it definite, or you don't use any articles, and then you make it definite. If you have a mixture, it's a problem. So, and the angel of the Lord, ep este autois. Oh, Andy, there's our form of histamine. So, ep... Yeah, Moloch Yahweh. Right, right. I would say so. Now I could ask you, how could the Moloch Yahweh be out there when he was in a manger? But there you are. All right. So this is from Ephistemi. Ephistemi, third singular, aorist indicative active. It's the strong aorist, therefore it's intransitive. That means to kind of be present on the scene next to somebody. So, angel of the Lord stood by them, And the doxa kyriou, kavod, no doubt, the glory of the Lord, peri elampsen, third singular aorist indicative active, shone around them, and they feared a fear, a big one. So, yeah. It's a real Hebraistic way of talking, right? They were sore afraid, yeah. They were seriously afraid. And said to them the angel with Hebraistic word order, Ipen autois ha angelos, stop fearing, second person, plural, so-called present, imperative, passive, because this has become deponent, basically, now. Stop fearing, for behold, I am proclaiming as gospel to you a great joy, which, non-restrictive clause, which will be future indicative middle, but it's deponent in the future, to all the people. Now this next is because or that. I think it's that. That etechte humin semeron, that today was born to you a Savior. And we want to say was born, not has been born, because there's a definite point of time in this one. Today, same right. Today was born to you, because it already happened, a Savior, hos, who is Christos Kyrios, who is Christ Lord. You'll notice there's an interesting variant in the Old Latin, is the Christos Kyriou, the anointed of the Lord. In the city of David. Now, I'm not sure why that is hanging on the end, because you certainly wouldn't want to say he is Christ the Lord in the city of David, but outside he's some guy named Fred or something. I mean, but it's odd the way that word order is. But etechthe, let's make sure we've got that parsing. That's third person singular, aorist indicative passive from ticto. Kai tuto, and this to you is the sign, you will discover a brephis, that's a small child in arms, swaddled and lying in a manger.
You guys are leaving for Hebrew, you're allowed to stay. This is more important.
Okay. Okay, espargonomenon is swaddled. You will see a brephis, that's a small baby in arms, swaddled and lying in a manger. And suddenly at Genata, there came on the scene with the angel, plethos strataas uraniu, a big number of the heavenly strata, which is the army, the heavenly army. That's the Tsebaoth, the Lord God of Tsebaoth thing. Einunton, notice the construction according to sense there. That's a plural. Praising, because it's a great number of people. Praising God and saying, doxa. Now, notice how they've got that laid out there in the printing. Glory in the high places to God, and upon earth peace. It forms a nice chiasm, doesn't it? Glory in the high places to God, and on earth, Irene, peace. And then the last line's a problem. Among men of good pleasure, of God's good pleasure, I guess, but you know it according to the old King James reading. Peace, goodwill on earth to men. But oidokias is a genitive, or possibly an accusative plural, but this is probably a genitive. You'll notice the variant reading there, which is quite important in 14. And that is, en anthropois oidokia nominative. And that would mean, that would be the subject like Irene, peace, goodwill on earth among men. But this is probably peace on earth among men of his good pleasure. Now, in the documents from Qumran, we have evidence of this phraseology, people of good pleasure being the people of God who are the elect, so to speak. And this is an interesting one, to be a tricky one to preach on in this form, because you're going to have to explore a little bit whether or not you want to talk about among men of his good pleasure as being restrictive, or whether it would encompass everybody. See, among people who are now of his good pleasure, something like that. So you might want to do a little work on that. Also, you have to make a decision what verb should be placed here. Is it there is glory to God, or let there be glory to God? Frankly, and I'll make this the last point, I think it should be something like that, like this. There is, it's not there's brightness on the sky and they're not shooting on earth. That's not what it means. There's glory, a revelation of God for who he truly is in the heavens. And on earth, that which brings peace. But where is the revelation of God as he truly is? It's in the baby. See? And there you see Deus Revelatus, the revealed God, the true heart of God. God is not a cruel God. He is not essentially a God of law. He's a God of giving and of forgiveness and of coming to dwell with men. So the doxa, glory to God in the highest, but it can, his nature can be seen by what's happening on earth in this baby of peace. And it's among men of his good pleasure, and I think you can easily argue that is among all people at this point. Okay, good. Thanks very much.
Of being Christian?
Yes.
Uh-huh. One of the benefits of being in his grace is that you have the peace that you can't have outside of him.
See, I think you can argue that. I'm not at all convinced that the way I...